Thank you, Jack. That's a great song. Let's stand, if you're able. We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll pray, and we'll let you be seated. Don't anticipate going late tonight. And so how many of you have the day off tomorrow? Okay. How many of you have to work tomorrow? Tell your boss I said that's wrong. Just quit. You can have the day off and the week off. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to read several portions of Scripture, and so we'll read the first one. We'll pray. I'll let you be seated. I know some of you seem a little warm in here tonight, but as we get seated, it'll be fine. It'll cool down. And I talked to Brother Esposito last week, and he was telling me about the air conditioning they have in the auditorium in Phnom Penh. He said it's brutal in there, sometimes 110, 120 in the service. Yeah, so pray for them. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. And they told him and said, "We come into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." And these are the spies, of course, giving a report. "Nevertheless," that's always a bad word, "the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb," I like that guy, "Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word tonight, to hear from you. I pray that you'd bless as we look at this particular time and story and situation. Help us to get from it what you have for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. Switch over to the next chapter. Chapter 14 and verse 24. And as we read through these other verses, I think you'll get where we're going. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whither, whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Numbers chapter 32. Numbers 32, verse 11. Thank you for bringing your Bibles. I encourage you to do that. And as you know, I encourage you to have a real Bible in church. I'm not one of these that, you know, and thank you for getting that iPad. I read my Bible on my iPad. That's what I read. That's my regular everyday reading. So I hadn't read my Bible in 2.5 weeks. So thank you for getting me. You can laugh because I was kidding. I did read it. But that's what I read on, because there's things I can do in it and so forth. And for me, but in church, as I mentioned before, I think it's good for us to have a real Bible, because all of our devices now have connection to everything. You know what I'm talking about. My son got me an Apple Watch. Now I have 4 devices. If I get a text or a call or something, that'll go off. You know, it's like, all right, so you got to kind of muffle them down. So if I was in church reading it on my phone or on my iPad, stuff would go off, and I'd be tempted to check a football score or whatever. So I'm just saying, if we could, and it's just good. We want to look in the Bible. We're not just making this stuff out of the top of our heads here. It's from the Scripture, and we really want you to see that. Numbers chapter 32, verse 11, it says, "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save," means except, "Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun." He was not the son of a Catholic lady, all right? That was his father's name. "For they have wholly followed the Lord." And all these verses we're looking at, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. All the verses we're looking at, again, are all related to this particular story, the 12 spies and their bad report and Caleb and Joshua, particularly Caleb, and their part in this story. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 35 and 36. Deuteronomy, when you read the book of Deuteronomy, what it is, it's basically going through what has already happened as a reminder to prepare them for going into the promised land. And so you'll hear a lot of the same stories you've read in the first four books, but he's given his other spin and he's getting a little more depth and kind of just going through it so they learn the lessons. Verse 35, it says, "Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. To him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." And then one more little section of verses. Joshua 14. Joshua chapter 14. And we will read verses 6 to 8. You say, man, we're reading a lot of scripture. We're going to be here a long time tonight. Well, most of you aren't working anyhow. Just kidding. I believe what someone once said. To be effective, you don't have to be eternal, okay? So we'll get the truth to you. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Says, "The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal." They're already in the promised land. "And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." Now, Caleb and Joshua also, they were part of the spies. But particularly, I want to signal out something here in Caleb's life. The purpose of them going to spy out, their purpose was to go and to spy out the land, to check it out, see what was going on, let them know so they could prepare for their later entrance. They also were to go to see and confirm the blessing that God had in store for them. Also to see the truth of what God had told him of his plan to get them into the promised land. And so they were to do that and come back and give a good report to the people. But as we know, it didn't play out that way. They came back and they saw all the land and they reported on the fruitfulness of the land. They told about all the good things that were going on. But then they went a little too far. They stuck that word in there. Nevertheless, if only they had stopped speaking earlier. If only they had just stuck with the good aspect, it would have went well for them. Instead, they started to focus on the obstacles that they would face. There were giants in the land. There were walled cities. And as they compared themselves to their enemy, which they shouldn't have, they said, man, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. These guys are giants. And so what happened? They forgot the victories that God had already given them. They had forgot how God had taken them out of Egypt, and they were able to escape from Egypt because of the miracles God performed. Forgot all of it. They forgot the promises God had made that said, listen, when you go into the promised land, I'm going to take care of your enemy. Don't worry about it. I'm going to send hornets. Before you even go in, they're going to be defeated. You're just going to basically have mop-up work. But they forgot all about that. By the way, the people in the land didn't forget about it. The people of the land were petrified. The people of the land had heard of everything God had done, and they're like, oh my, we're in trouble. Fact of the matter is, when they went 40 years later and they sent a couple spies to go to Jericho, Rahab said, we know what's going on in our hearts. They're melted. I wish they would have had as much faith in God as the unbelievers in Canaan did. So they discouraged the people from going. They even said, hey, we ought to go back to Egypt. That's the place we ought to get. Let's make us a captain. Let's go back. Everything was better when we were in Egypt, which isn't true. But that happens when you start to complain. But there were two that were okay, Caleb and Joshua. They were the only ones who believed God. In fact, in the verses we read, they said, there's giants in the land. And it says, Caleb got up and stilled the people. In other words, he said, quiet, I got something to say. He goes, he didn't answer their complaints. He didn't answer their negative facts. He said, hey, let's go up right now. We can take these people out. He believed. He didn't get sucked in by all the nonsense. But there's a phrase there in Caleb's life that I want us to kind of think about tonight. This made him a faithful man during an unfaithful time. This made him somebody that would go and do what they were supposed to do when everybody else was complaining. You may have caught it there. But the description, and it was used once, or I think maybe once, and maybe somewhere else also of Joshua, but it's used more of him, that Caleb was somebody who wholly followed the Lord. Not wholly, H-O-L-Y, although that's important. Holy as in completely, 100%, not holding out, no reservations, gung-ho. I don't care what the obstacles are. God said it, we're doing it, that kind of holy. That was Caleb. You know what we need today? We need to be holy followers. We don't need to be half-hearted. Christianity is full of half-hearted people. Many will follow the Lord, you know, if the road is sure. I think it was missionary David Livingston. They said, we're going to send, they sent him a note and said, hey, there are some men I can send to go out and to help you there if they can find a road. And he sent a letter back and said, if you're only going to send men that'll come if there's a road, don't send them. I want someone that'll come if there's no road at all. But that's how Christians are. If everything is straight and narrow, if everything is perfect, if the path is smooth, if everything is great, if everything's going well, then I'll follow God. We don't need that. We need people that follow God, not just because of what's going on, because what's going on around them is all right. We need people that follow God because God deserves for us to follow him 100%. It has nothing to do about us. It has nothing to do about our circumstances. It has nothing to do about where we are in life. It has everything to do with who God is. We need some holy followers tonight. So we read these verses, I see some characteristics of somebody who wholly follows the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, about Caleb, he had a spirit that was contrary. He had a spirit that was contrary. His spirit was different. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, we read it. He said, but my servant Caleb, and then God says, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me wholly. You see, Caleb looked around, and he didn't care what everybody else was thinking. He didn't care what everybody else was saying. He didn't care what was going around. Caleb said, you know what? I know if I'm going to wholly follow God, it's going to be contrary to other people. He said, I'm willing to be different. Listen to this. People with a good spirit experience and say the same things that those that don't have a good spirit see. They just choose to trust God and not let it stop them. He saw the same thing they saw. He saw the walled cities. By the way, the first city they were going to fight, Jericho, was the strongest city in the land. God didn't wimp them out and say, hey, we'll go to some little city first. He said, I'm going to show you what I can do. We'll take the big city out. He saw the people that they were big. Somebody you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley. But Caleb didn't let that bother him. Caleb was like, I already know what God said. It's not a big deal. And I don't care if you guys are complaining. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what everybody says. I'm wholly following the Lord. They're bread for us. Let's go right now. Isn't that what we need? See, too many Christians, you look around and we want to see what everybody else is doing. By the way, if we're going to look around and see what everybody else is doing, we want to see what's going on. We're never going to accomplish anything. Well, I'll come to Soul Winning, but who else is going to be there? By the way, thank the Lord. We have a church where a lot of people are there. But even if there wasn't a lot of people there, would you just go because it's the right thing to do? Let's quit looking around us. Our attitude, our spirit, is a matter of choice. No, you don't know my circumstances. I have the Spirit because I have all this going on in my life. And I understand some of you got some things going on in your life that are horrific and things that are going on that could drag you down. But listen to me, you can still choose to have a right spirit. The story we've told here before, but there's a little girl and her mom, they went into the grocery store, and they're shopping, and the mother looks at her little girl and goes, "Did you see that lady that passed by me? She gave me a dirty look." The little girl goes, "Oh, no, mommy, she didn't give you that. You had it when you came in." You can always blame somebody else. When we look at things, we can see the obstacles and say we can't do it, or we can see the opportunity that'll happen if we'll just tackle the obstacles head on. Are you a, you know, half glass full kind of person or a half empty? I'll be honest with you. I have a tendency, Brother Pichardo, this may be hard for you to believe, to be a half empty kind of guy. I got a little coffee glass. It's a clear coffee cup in my office. It has a line in the middle. And it says underneath the line, "This cup is now officially half empty." That's negative. We have to choose to see the positive. We have to choose to see what can happen in spite of what's going on around us. Another story we've mentioned here before, but the story about the shoe salesman in Africa. He goes to some, they send a shoe company, sends this guy to this African village out there where no one wears shoes and they're kind of just a tribe out there. And he sent a letter home and said, "I'm coming back. This is a waste of my time. You sent me here to sell shoes to these people and none of them wear shoes." And then they sent another guy out there. He sent a letter back and said, "You're going to need to send me more shoes. None of the people out here wear shoes. They all need a pair." How's our spirit? By the way, if you listen to everybody else, everything's negative. That's why I don't listen to news. I try to keep up what's going on, but I'm not going to let, because everything's negative. Everything's just like, you know, it's just a negative, negative, negative spin on everything. And by the way, sometimes we tell you what's going on in the culture because we need to know, and I'm not trying to be negative, I'm trying to be truthful, but listen, if we serve the Lord, we're on the winning side. It's all going to be good. Now, I'm saying we're going to have to go through some difficulties, but guess what? We're still on the winning side. But let's not be negative. Let's have a spirit that's not contingent on everything else. Let's have a spirit that's contingent on the fact that we're wholly following the Lord. Caleb didn't let the crowd get to him. By the way, the circumstances didn't get to him. You know, the description they gave was really accurate. It was. He didn't even argue with them about it. He said, "You're right. There is a lot of Israel over there. But you know what? We're going to take them down." You know what they say? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Now, you said the bigger they are, the harder they hit. No, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. He didn't let those circumstances. Yeah, it was all true. He didn't let the culture stop him. And by the way, the negativity didn't start there. The negativity started right when they left Egypt. The fact of the matter is, the negativity started when they were in Egypt. The people left Egypt, but Egypt never left the people. They were negative. Look, they were negative right when they, I mean, "Oh, yeah, we're through the Red Sea. We're out of here." And a day later, they're griping about something. And God miraculously provides something. "Well, that's not enough. I want this." Constant, constant, constant. If you're going to have a good spirit, you're going to have it in spite of what's going around you. Hey, what kind of spirit do you have at your job? Say, "You don't know what it's like around there. You know, it's just a negative place to work." Why don't you be the one with a good spirit? Years ago, I worked at a trucking factory. I started out in the loading dock, and they promoted me to the office, and I was up there, and there was this one guy, and he was just real sour, Brother Pernandez. Never smiled, was always like this. And then one day, I was up in the office, and we were alone in the office, and he's like, he started to witness to me. He was a Mormon. You ever read the Book of Mormon? Yeah, I started talking, "Hey, I'm a Christian, I don't believe that, blah, 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 blah." But the fact of the matter is, I wanted to say it. I said, "Man, if I was a Mormon, I would not become a Mormon because I didn't want to be like you. Sour, negative. Hey, we're on the winning side. Let's wholly follow the Lord and let's have that spirit that's contrary to that which is going on around us. If we're going to be holy followers, we must stand against the crowd. We must stand against the crowd. You know, he had no problem. Here were 10 spies, and they were rallying the people up, and they're getting everybody in a frenzy, and the people got in a frenzy. They were upset with Moses. They were upset. And Caleb's like, he gets up, and he doesn't chide them. He says, "Let's go." He says, "I don't care what the crowd is saying. I'm going to stand against the crowd. You know, we are too much, we're people followers. We're people followers. We want to be different, so we want to be just like everybody else. If we're like everybody else, then we're not different. Because really, if you really want to be different and stand out, be a Christian. Or you'll stand out. Now, I'm not saying let's go stand against a crowd just to stand against the crowd to be rude and mean, and that doesn't help anybody. But I'm just saying if you live right and you do right, you are going to stand out. You will be different. And by the way, it'll give you some opportunities. It'll give us, look, when you're at your place of work, if you seek to be a genuine Christian like we talked about this morning, and you do all the things you're supposed to do, those people may laugh at you. Some of them make fun of you, and some of them may not like you. But I guarantee you, when they have problems in your life, they're not going to their drinking buddy. They're not doing it. They're going to come talk to you because they know that what their friend has isn't going to help them through those trials of life. But we want to be like everybody else. We need to have something called conviction. What's conviction? Conviction is a truth that God has said in the Bible that's non-optional. And when it's non-optional, we believe it. Someone calls us on us like, I ain't changing. I believe it. We need to be willing to stand for that conviction. Many years ago, right after we moved into the building here, over by the 7-Eleven on Willow, there was a boba store. And at that time, boba was really hot. Most of the people from our church were over there getting boba all the time. I don't like it because those little balls at the bottom look like dead bugs, but whatever. And so everybody's drinking this stuff. I had a lady in my Sunday school class. She came to me on Sunday night. She said, you know, after service, I went over to the boba store. And she goes, fortunately, I left my kids in the car. She goes, I went in to get some. And the worker was there. He had the television on. He was watching filth, Brother Pichardo, nakedness and all kinds of garbage. And she called him out. She said, my kids are in the car. I am thankful I didn't be in the mirror. That is wrong. That is inappropriate for you to be playing in a place of business. And the guy blew her off like, huh. So she told me. So Monday, I called down there. I found out who the manager was. And I found out when the manager was going to be there. I went down there and talked to her. I said, listen, half the people that, you know who our church is? She goes, yeah, I know your church. Half the people that were her customers were our church members. School kids were down there all the time. I'm like, yeah, I said, I told her what happened. I said, that's unacceptable. I was very nice. I said, if that's how you're going to run your business, we are going to get up in church and we're going to tell people in our church not to go here. And she said, that will never happen again. Now, I wasn't trying to be mean, but man, our school kids were going there, Brother Pichardo. They're going over and they're getting stuff and our church families are stopping to get boba for whatever reason. And I didn't want them exposed to that. We weren't trying to be mean. I didn't say fire the guy, although I would have fired him. But, you know, sometimes we're so quiet. Yeah, well, what do you think about this? Now, let's not argue. It's like, are you really asking for my opinion? Well, you know, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. We just don't want to stand out. We've got to be different. We can't be spiritual politicians. And unfortunately, in Christianity, that's where most pastors are today. You know, you want to be liked, and I want to be liked. I don't want to be hated. But you know, we're going to trim the message to be liked. You know, we're going to be sweet because it'll attract the crowd. No, it won't. It'll attract people that aren't being helped. Truth helps. Truth is what is helpful. We got to stand for the truth. And sometimes people don't like it. That's okay. Let's be kind. Let's be loving. Let's not be rude. But on the other hand, got to stand for truth. Caleb would have been doing them no favor to say, well, you know, maybe let's just go. I know that it's not true, but let's just go along with the crowd. Listen, when all those people died because they disobeyed God in those 40 years, Caleb could, with a clear conscience, say, I did what I could to warn them. I did what I could to encourage them to do the right thing. But they didn't. Next, this kind of goes along with what I just said at the end there. We must sense the cost of those who are half-hearted. I don't know if we read the verses, but in Numbers chapter 14, verse 29 and 30, God is talking to those that said, we're not going in. He said, fine, you don't want to go in? By the way, they had already prayed, would to God we died in the wilderness. So God says, fine, you don't want to go in? You want to die in the wilderness? You're going to walk around in a circle for 40 years. And everybody who's over the age of 18 is going to die because you don't want to go into the promised land. We'll make sure you want to die out here in the wilderness. wilderness like a desert? Fine, go ahead. Here's what God tells him. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, I'm sorry, was it not 18? From 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Joshua and Joshua the son of Nun. You see, we have to understand, and I think this is where we have a hard time getting it. Half-hearted Christianity doesn't work. Half-hearted Christianity does not work. You got to see that. Let's just stick with the crowd. Let's not cause everything. Let's be all right. Fine, they're all going to die. Didn't turn out very well for them. Hey, you young people, quit looking at other young people who say they're Christians and live like the devil. Oh, they're so happy. I see their post on Instagram. Who cares? Anybody, I can smile. Who cares? Somebody that violates the principles of this book, unfortunately, is going to pay the consequences. Ah, but you know, I know these people I work with, and they say they're Christian. They go to church, and they ask me, so what? The story's not been told. The older I get, and I'm not old, Brother Machado, but the older I get, and the more that I see the friends that I had for these, I've been serving God now. I started when I was 18. So if you take my age, you take away 18, carry the one. For these last 14 years, 34 years. I see people that I had a friend in Bible college. I met him the first week I was there. First week I was in Bible college. I was over his dorm. We were gonna go somewhere, but I came over there and he started talking to me. He gave me his toast. God called me to preach, and he gave me this testimony, and it wasn't fake at all. It wasn't some youth conference and everybody got emotional and 300 people ran to the altar. That's not what happened to him. It was legitimate. I'm not saying that that's not legitimate. I'm just saying he struggled with it. He fought it. After we got out of college and I kind of kept up with him, it's like he went a different direction. It's many years ago, probably about 9 years ago, we went and saw him when we were on vacation. Oh, great business, beautiful house in the middle of nowhere. I mean, they had elk out there and everything was wonderful, and his family's great. Everything's wonderful. Oh, this, blah, blah, blah. I guess he didn't have to follow God. I guess he didn't have to stay on the straight path. And a couple years ago, we got the real story. It's horrific. It's horrible. I'm not saying that happens to everybody, but I'm saying this, half-hearted Christianity doesn't work. The price will be paid. Just a matter of now or later. Quit looking at the outward trappings now and see down to what's really going to happen. God doesn't need any more half-hearted Christians. And then I want us to see the completion. We read the verses in Joshua chapter 14. He says, Caleb says of himself that he followed the Lord God. And a couple of verses later, he says, now therefore, in verse 12 of chapter 14, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. You know what happened? After they already fought some of the battles, Caleb goes to Joshua and says, now you remember what God said about us. We were faithful and all that stuff. He goes, it's time for me to get my reward. Give it to me now. I know there's going to be some battles, but if God's with me, man, this is going to be good. None of us could. You know what happened to the other 10 spies? They were all in graves in the wilderness. But he's the one that saw the blessing. Don't be short-sighted in your Christianity. The longer you're faithful to God, the longer you're straight on the path, the longer that you are true to God, the better things can get. The better things can get. Doesn't mean there won't be tough times. Doesn't mean there won't be trials, but you see the blessings. Let's not be short-sighted. Let's wholly follow the Lord. And the last thing is this, and we won't spend much time on it, but he was a spark to help his family and those he influenced to continue. If you read later in Joshua, you see how his family and his children, they go forward. one of his relatives becomes one of the judges in the book of Judges. Why? That would never have happened, I don't believe, if Caleb hadn't set the example. It's very important. You ever read the story of David and Goliath? David was there. His brothers were all in the army. They were there battling. David wasn't invited to the army. Fact of the matter is, when David shows up on the scene, he's nothing more than a glorified food truck. Dad says, take some food to your brothers. And he takes food and he sees what's going on. He goes, someone needs to cut that guy. Someone needs to knock that guy's block off. He is defying God, and I'm not going to put up with it. And so he's not even in the army. He says, I'll fight him. Saul tries to talk him out of it. Then Saul tries to give him this armor. It's way too big. And David's like, I'm good. I don't need all that. Saul's like, you're too young. He goes, listen, I was keeping a herd. I killed a bear. I carried a lion. Not an issue. And David goes out there. By the way, Saul wouldn't fight him, and Saul was the biggest guy. No one would fight him. Here's David. David, I'll take him down. And David does. Now, years later, there's a battle that's mentioned in Chronicle. Chapter 20 says, and yet again there was war in Gath, where there was a man of great stature, whose fingers and toes were 4 and 20. Goliath's relatives were huge. 6 on each hand and 6 on each foot. And also he was the son of the giant, big guy. But he defied Israel. Here's another guy walking in Goliath's footstep, and he gets up and says, come on. Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, slew him. David's brother, Shimeah, who didn't fight Goliath, his son is out there at the battle, and it's like, if Uncle David could do it, I'm pretty sure I could. I don't know if he cut his head off. I hope he did. You know, that's kind of... He took him down. Where'd that come from? Because he had an uncle who set the path. He had an uncle who charted the course. See, half-hearted people leave a bad legacy. Half-hearted people aren't helping anybody. You know what? New converts come in this church. You know what they need to see? They need to see people that have been here in the church that aren't just sitting, soaking, and souring. They need to be people, hey, how long have you been in this church? I've been in this church for 15 years. Oh, you're singing in the choir. You're doing this and doing that. Seems to me like you're still wholly following the Lord. Let's set the example. Let's keep going. What's the point today? The point today is we need people that are wholehearted followers of God. Let's quit playing games. Let's take Christianity seriously. It's not just something we do on Sundays. It's not just something, you know, we kind of have, you know, I'll kind of add Jesus to what I'm doing in my life. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is your life. Caleb saw all the blessing. Caleb was able to stay true. You know why? Because he wholly followed the Lord. Make that commitment tonight. Say, but that I don't know what that's going to mean. I'll tell you what it's going to mean. It's going to mean good things. That doesn't mean you'll probably have to make some changes in your life. You'll probably face some struggles, but you know what? It's sweet when you get the victory. And by the way, let me say this and we're done. The half-hearted face all the things you're going to face, only they do it without God's help. And not only do they face the things of life that we all have to face, they add things to their life that we don't need to face because of their half-hearted life. And we can avoid all that. You know what we need tonight? We need holy followers. Are you wholly dedicated to God? I mean, is the passion of your life, I want to serve God, and I'm 100% in on this thing. Let's stand together tonight.